Then you were also involved at KMUS in Muskogee, and you were staff announcer at KFMJ, but you worked with sports director Bill Mercer on baseball recreations. Talk about that.
After doing all this classical music in college, and then I was a full-time announcer in Muskogee doing commercials and working with the sports director on the sports broadcasts that were done remotely in the city or recreated from out of town, I had an exposure that I had never had before. For the ones in town, I was operating the board at the station, so that I would do the commercials and any announcements to be made between innings of baseball or during the halftime of the football games. Then I would give it back to Bill, who was actually on the side of the game. But when the Muskogee team played out of town, the station couldn't afford to send a crew. So we were receiving every inning a list on the wire machine of play-by-play. Actually, I was ripping it off of United Press. It just listed, it would say inning one, and then it would say who was up to bat and what happened, whether they scored a home run or whatever. The entire inning would come across. So we would start the game broadcast about 20 minutes, if not a half hour, after the real beginning, so that there would be time for this information to come off the wire, for me to run down the hall and rip it off and bring it to Bill, who was seated in the studio facing the control room. So we always had eye-to-eye contact. I would go into his studio and hand him the next inning. He had an amazing talent for making you think that this was all real. And I would supply the sound effects.
So you'd have crowd sound effect, obviously.
Yes, we had four turntables. We had some of the sound effects on 78, so I would have to be sure that that was on a turntable that was adjusted to play 78s. And then we had the large 16-inch transcriptions. I would have sound effects on all four of the large turntables. To my immediate right and immediate left would be the 16-inch discs that had nothing but continuous crowd noise. I could start the needle at the outside, and it would continue with crowd noise for around 15 minutes was safe. Sometimes I'd let it run a little longer than that. Then I would crossfade into the disc on my left. You could never tell when we were fading one sound effect record in first and then taking the other one out. So you could have hours and hours of crowd noise to fill up the whole game. But on the turntables that were further away from me, I would have a disc at 78 RPM at that time. There would be booing, or there would be cheering, or in one particular case that I did use, the siren of an ambulance arriving. I would be listening to everything that Bill was saying and doing, and if there was cheering or anything like that, I would bring that in over the crowd noise, mixing it with it. One time, the rundown indicated that a woman had fainted in the audience, and without talking to Bill at all about this, because he was doing ongoing play-by-play, eventually, after he had said that a woman had fainted, I brought in the sound of an ambulance arriving at the field. And of course, then Bill had no choice but to weave that into his scenario. That got in his autobiography as an example of the extremes to which you could go in recreating a game to make it sound realistic. Anyway, he went on from being sports director at KMUS in Muskogee to the Dallas market, where he continued as the sports announcer play-by-play for all of the Texas teams, the big ones.